Hello, and welcome to this half hour with Rallets Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rallets. I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, or every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or maybe you can come join us at Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our weekly Bible study here at Rallets. We're just a country church that seeks to exalt Jesus Christ. We've got a missionary heart, and we're dedicated to sharing that love of Jesus with everyone that we meet and every situation that we find ourselves in. We just want to take just a minute. We just had a lot of birthdays throughout the course of March from the members here at Rallets. I love being able to tease and to aggravate about birthdays and to congratulate. But this week, it's not as many as we had the first of the month. We're just looking forward to being able to celebrate next Wednesday, the 23rd, Miss Faye Metter. Miss Faye is one of the sweetest ladies you'll ever meet. Miss Faye is celebrating a birthday on Wednesday, the 23rd. And David and Deborah Brunell are also celebrating an anniversary on that same day, on Wednesday the 23rd. So if you see Miss Faye out, tell her happy birthday. You see David and Deborah out, let them know happy anniversary, and you'll be praying for them. I want to, if I could, take a minute to invite you, come join us in revival services. I'll be helping in revival services at Pleasant Ridge Baptist Church right there in Greene County on the other side of Monroe. Brother Scott Coates is pastor there. We'll be having revival starting the 18th there at Pleasant Ridge. That starts at 6:30 our time, and just come join us and be praying for us and helping us there with the Spirit of the Lord. And I just want to thank God for an opportunity to be able to share in revivals. I want to share with you, if I might, this morning, just for a little while, a parable out of the book of Matthew, one that I have often struggled with, and one that I've often looked to and understood it to be in my spirit a little bit harder to understand, maybe, or I guess it's just because of the way I think and the way that I perceive things, is that this seemed to me always be hard to accept. But I want to share with you some things I've learned that I've tried to take from this parable and saw and seen that God is still good. I think the whole point of the parable, friends, is to understand that God is sovereign. God is sovereign in everything that He does and everything that He desires to do. We have no control over God. And I'll tell you, that makes some people so angry. It makes some people just feel like they've been done wrong in some way. It makes them feel like maybe you know what we desire? As human beings today, we desire to have so much control in our lives. We want to have control of the people around us. We want to have control of our jobs. We want to have control of what's going on tomorrow. We want to plan, and we want to know, and we want to be able to say we know exactly what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. And today, the same thing is true when it comes to religion. A lot of people today, they want to strive to be in control of the congregation where they are, or in the services and the way they go. And we want to be able to, what people are desiring today is to have a God in their lives that they can tame. They want to be able to put a collar on God and put a leash on Him and walk Him around and lead Him. But when He's there, when they need Him, when they need a blessing or they need some help in a situation, they want to be able to call upon God. But they don't want to see God as being this sovereign God that does not need them, that's not dictated by them. And I think people today have a hard time understanding the sovereignty of God, that God is in total and complete control, that everything that happens is in God's hands, the good and the bad. And I think people today struggle with that concept of God. I want to share with you a parable out of Matthew chapter 20 that I think you and I can really gain some understanding from when it comes to knowing that God is in complete and total control. Matthew chapter 20. We'll start in verse 1. We'll go all the way through verse 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. Now, this is Jesus speaking throughout. This is Jesus teaching. This is Jesus in his finest setting. When you see the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe one of the finest hours that he had was as a teacher. I remember, as you probably do as well, the scribes said, no man ever taught like this man. No man ever spoke like this man, having such authority, having such power. And here we find Jesus in his element. He's teaching the people, and he says the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. So I want you to understand this. Jesus is comparing this parable. He's giving you a heavenly example of an earthly truth. That way you can relate to it. He puts it in a manner in which that you and I can understand. And here this parable is about the kingdom of heaven. And he's liking it to a landowner. Now, a landowner would have been a wealthy man, a man in control. Here we go. We get to this control issue. We get to this issue that says someone else is above us. Someone else is over us. And we must submit to someone else. Now, this landowner went out early in the morning, so it was before it had even got up in the, maybe even the light of day. Maybe it was still dusk outside. This landowner goes out. He knows he needs some things done that day, and he goes seeking to find some help, maybe in his fields that day. And so he went out early in that morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. I want you to notice these words. Folks, listen. You must. I'm not hung up real bad on different translations of the Bible. I'm glad that the King James Bible is, it's all you'll ever need. If that's what you love, then love it with all your heart. It's a wonderful thing, and God has blessed us certainly with that. I'm not going to judge others on what they see, but know this, regardless of what translation of the Bible you like to read, get one that has all the words. We've got to be hung up on these words of Jesus. I want them all in there. I want to know what Christ said. I've got to be sure of it. I've got to know, beyond the shadow of any doubt, that I have what Jesus said, and I want it in its purest form. So we see right here that early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Hire laborers. We've got to understand that we're hired laborers. And we're sent to his vineyard. Verse 2. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. So an agreement has been made. This landowner has went out. He spoke to people standing there, maybe in the town square. He went up to them, men, I need some help today. Would you agree to work for me today in my fields for a denarii? You give me 12 hours today from light till dark, and I'll pay you a whole denarii. And that's the deal we made. We shook on that deal, and there we go. So we see, he went out and he sent them into his vineyard, okay? A denarii a day. They've agreed on it. They shook on it. Everything's fine. At this point, they see no problem. There is no issue. Verse 3, he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. The third hour. Now, the third hour is going to be about 9 a.m. So if he came at about 6 a.m. and picked up the first bunch of workers, they've already been 3 hours out in the field when he goes back to the marketplace and sees others standing around. So you're looking at about a third or a quarter of the day is gone. He sees them standing around. He says to them in verse 4, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I'll give you. So they went. So these men have agreed upon just going out into the field. Now, you'll notice at this point, the landowner did not make an agreement. He did not give any uncertain terms. He just said, whatever is right, I will give you. I'll give you whatever I decide is come about your way, the amount of hours that you put in compared to the amount of work that you can do. And they agreed on that, and they went out. At this point, there is no defining what the terms of the deal was. They simply knew they were called to go in to do some work in the landowner's field, and whatever he decided for them would be okay. It would be all right. They, no doubt, they thought it better than just standing around all day in the marketplace and not gaining anything. So they went out. Verse 5. Again, he went out about the sixth hour. Now, the sixth hour was about noon. So here we see those guys who went out first. They've already been in the field for 6 hours working and sweating and doing everything the landowner expected. The second group had got there about 9, 10, 11, 12. They worked for 3 hours. They're sweating and they're getting along. And the landowner comes back about noon. Who knows? He may have went to get the others lunch. I don't know. But he says that he went out about that hour and he made another deal. And then the ninth hour. Now, the ninth hour, you're looking at 3 o'clock. The day is about gone. I mean, it's dwindling way down. And they did likewise. Now, verse 6, at about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. And he said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" And they said to him, "Because no one hired us." So he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive." So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, "Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first." Okay? And when those who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. Wow! They worked 1 hour, and they received a day's wage. That is stupendous and marvelous, and that is at the total discretion of the landowner. The landowner was in complete control of the situation, and no man could look to him and say, "What you have paid this worker for being in the field for 1 hour is not fair." Nobody could look to that landowner and say, "You're not doing what's right. You're not doing justice compared to what ought to be here." Look at the rest of this parable. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarii. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day." Now here's the landowner. But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give this last man," now what? "I wish to give this last man the same as to you." Now watch this wonderful statement by our Savior. "Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, the first will be last, for as many as are called, but few chosen." For as many are called, but few chosen. Now, if I could, just for a few moments, I'll hold you just a little longer. And I want to speak to you a little bit about the sovereignty of God. Do you understand today that you and I, the reason we believe so much of what we did, our whole nation has been set up to look at the rest of the world and say, "We have our rights. We have our undeniable rights, and we're going to have justice seen. We're going to play fair. We as a nation have become the world's police. And now, whenever there's a disaster going on, we're the first nation to step up and be there to help in that disaster. When there's a great atrocity being committed somewhere across the ocean, regardless of where it's at, the United States will stand strong and we will be there. We will defend the defenseless. We'll help the helpless. We'll try to stand up for those who are not being treated fairly, who are not being given equal rights." And I'll tell you, that's wonderful. The Bible would celebrate that. It would be wonderful. It would be help the helpless, be there for the poor, do all these things. But friend, we've got to understand today that when it comes to the point that we see injustice in our lives, we see injustice happening in this world, that automatically it's been ingrained within us, it's been put within our hearts that we're to stand up against that, and no matter what happens, we're to stand for what we think is fair and what we think is right. And I'll tell you, friends, sometimes that hurts us today, because what we want to do, we want to look at the sovereignty of God, and we've decided in our hearts that God's not doing a lot of things fairly. And all of a sudden, men and women today, they'll look at science and Darwinism, and they look at all these lies that's been concocted by these intelligent, supposedly intelligent human beings, and today they'll say, you know what? So many things in this life are unfair, that God can't be who He says He is, and that God, we're going to second guess what God's doing. And all of a sudden, we've decided that we've got to become the police for God. All of a sudden, we've decided that God's sovereignty means nothing to us anymore because God's not fair. Let me ask you this. As God asked Job, three chapters we find in the book of Job, almost three whole chapters, God asked Job, where were you when I hung the stars? Where were you when I put the oceans in place? Where were you when I weaved this great tapestry of a universe together? Where were you? What right does the clay have to turn around, look at the potter, and say, why did you choose me for this shape? What right does the created thing have to look at the Creator and say, you're not fair? Friends, today, listen, I think if you'll understand something about the sovereignty of God, and you look at it and you think that's unfair, and you don't like that, and you wanted to cry out, where are my rights? Then you're not understanding about the nature of God. You see, friends, God is in control of the good, and God's in control of the bad. Everything is in His hands, and you and I are subject to the sovereignty of God. So, what does that mean? Well, it gives me great peace. And I'll tell you why. Because I know, regardless of what's happening, regardless of what's going on, it doesn't matter whether it be good or it be bad. It's in my Father's hands. It's in my Father's hands. And my Bible tells me, and I stand on faith, that my God is a good God. He's a worshipful God. He's a God that's faithful to the end. And from 10,000 times, 10,000 times, my God is a God of love and graciousness and hope. And if I simply hold to His unchanging hand, if I simply trust in Him, if I simply put all my hopes and my dreams and my visions not in my power, not in my integrity, not in my moral standing, if I put all these things in my Father's hands, I can trust Him. You can trust God today. Why? Because He's sovereign and He's holy and He's compassionate and He's a good God. He's a good God. And so His sovereignty, even in the hard things of life, even in the cancers and the babies dying, and in the wars and the rumors of wars, and in the financial distress, all these things that God is calling us not to judge and not to decide what's right and what's wrong, but simply to trust in Him. Trust in Him. Because He's in love with us. These men decided that they'd been cheated by the landowner. That the landowner had done them a great injustice by paying what he saw fit to the people who had worked for him in his vineyard. You know, I'll tell you an issue. Here's an issue, probably makes some of you mad, but you can turn the radio off. That's your option. A lot of church members have been in church a long time, and they've decided all these new people coming in. Now, this is not the case here at Rallets, but it is in some places. That because they've been there so long, and their tithes help pay for those nice pews, help pay for that new carpet, help pay for that new sanctuary, and all these new people are coming in and they're wearing everything out. And they've been saved right here at the 11th hour, and I've been saved since 6 a.m. that morning, and I deserve more. I ought to get a better place. Are to have a higher place in heaven, are to have more understanding, are to be given greater honor by the pastor, the deacons are to look to me and dote over me because I've been here so long. I'll tell you this, there are not two saved people in any church that's worth one lost soul. You think about that, it'll come to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things, God says? Or is your eye evil because I am good? The first workers complained that their wages were the same as those who had been hired late in the day. However, the owner had not cheated them. Everyone received the agreed upon sum for his work. The early workers grumbled because they were evil in their outlook. The landowner, however, was sovereignly generous. Sovereignly generous. In the context of Matthew, the workers with the contract represent Israel. They had the promises and the covenants. They had everything that God had told them. They were the people who they were the promised ones of God. They were the people that knew just because they were of Abraham's seed that they were the special people of God. And they thought they had a corner market on who God was and that God owed them because they were these people. Those without an agreement represent the Gentiles who would be made equal with the Jewish people when salvation became available to all. Through faith in Jesus Christ. Through faith in Jesus Christ. So I want you to understand today that God in His sovereignty decided that all men are fit to be saved. And that Jesus Christ would not only die for those early in the morning, but He'd die for those late in the hour of life. And so maybe you've been saved since you're 6 years old. Maybe God is calling you right now to be saved and your life will be called upon to be answered unto God before the end of the day. Because our lives are such a fragile, fragile thing. We're simply hanging by a thread, friends. When you realize that you cannot even keep your own heart beating in your chest, that the very lungs that are drawing in air in your body right now is being allowed and controlled and kept in check by an almighty God, by a sovereign God, by a God who's in control of everything. Do you realize that God has never had to exert all of His power toward any goal in His entire existence? Creating the heavens and the earth, creating the stars and the moon, creating the sun and all the universe was simply the fringe of His power. And so what is it for the Creator to say to the creation, "Have you not received the fair wages?" Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Listen, I know sometimes people struggle. They struggle with this concept of God. They struggle with this idea that God is in complete and total control of even the bad things in life. And so I guess the entire point, the gist of what I'm trying to say in this matter is that whether you have a hard time in your life, whether you're facing trouble in your home, whether you're facing anything, I want you to understand that all that had to come across God's desk before it was allowed to take place. And so if God has allowed it to happen, then He's allowed it to happen for your good and for His glory. For your good and for His glory. And if you'll simply trust and hold to God's hand in the middle of this turmoil, in the middle of this strife, in the middle of this aggravation, in the middle of this heartache, if you'll simply hold to God's unchanging hand, He will work all things together for good to those who love Him. So that's my message for you today. Maybe you've been looking for a sign. Maybe you've been looking for God to show you something. Maybe you've been looking for God to tell you something about this situation that you find yourself in, and you've hit dead end after dead end. You've ran into hard brick walls and you can't get through them. You can't understand. And then God, I just feel like God, maybe it sent me right now to say to you, don't give up. I'm in control. God is sovereign. And He will see His might and His power and His will worked out in your life if you will simply trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. I don't know what it is you're facing, but I know my God. And I know that He reigns. I know that He is complete in Himself. And because of that fact, I can rest. I can rest. And I want you to be able to as well. Friend, will you pray with me this morning? Father God, I come to You, Lord, on bent knee this morning. Father, asking that Your great will be done. Lord, I just pray that You might help us to recognize Your sovereignty. As the landowner today, dear God, chose the better part, chose the good thing. He chose to treat all of them equally today. And so do You treat Your children, Father. Whether we come to You early in life or late in life, whether we've been in church 50 years or we just started last week, I thank You for Your sovereignty. I thank You, dear God, that You are in total control and that our lives must submit to You. I'm glad that You're God and I'm who I am. Father, I just pray that You might be with that person that's facing such a hard time in their life. That you'll just comfort them. That You'll send the Holy Spirit to work in their heart and in their mind. And that You'll give them the ability to be able to say, "My God is in control. And because of that, I can find rest. I can find rest." Thank You today, dear God. Lord, I pray that You might be with all the churches in this area. Father, I want to pray for Horse Cave, that You send a mighty revival to Horse Cave. I want to pray for Mumfordville, dear God, that you'll send the mighty Spirit of God into the churches of Mumfordville, Kentucky, and you'll begin to see men and women come to their knees and call upon God and repent and turn back to the mighty living God. I pray, Father, for Hart County, that, dear Lord, that You might make Your mighty hand known in a powerful way through the pulpits of this community. And Father, I pray that You might continue to allow us to serve You as best we can, that our shortcomings and our infirmities might be to Your glory. Thank You today, dear Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Rowlett's Baptist Church.